Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Reverend John Kerrigan, Deacon of the Catholic community. It is the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle B.
We are members of a very human church existing in a fragile world. That reality was underscored by the shocking revelations found in the Pennsylvania Grand Jury's report earlier this week. Here are some reactions and questions I've heard from you, members of this community, in response to stories of abuses by people in power in the church and the cover-ups that followed. I feel angry, sad, duped. How could this have happened? What organization, religious or otherwise, tolerates a culture of silence and conspiracy to hide abuse? I could go on. And even though the vast majority of the abuse cases described occurred decades ago, the incandescent rage among Catholics is over the grand jury's description of systematic and almost conspiratorial hiding of misdeeds and crimes. This scandal, on the heels of the resignation of Cardinal McCarrick just 2 weeks ago, is almost too much to absorb. With all that said, I believe that we've all learned over time that when faced with a calamity, we do well to anchor ourselves in some essential truths. And while these suggestions may be premature, there are three things that I think are fundamental to our present situation. First of all, we are the church. You and I and everyone assembled here, as well as those who are gathered for the Lord's Supper throughout the world this August Sunday. We are the church. Second, prayer must serve as our foundation. Jesus promised to send his Spirit among us, and that Spirit is our source of wisdom, but we must pray. Finally, it's time to start rebuilding. Doing some house cleaning, establishing new policies, while helpful, are hardly a solution to the crisis we face. No, we need to start rebuilding, and that will call for a change of heart and some transformation. In the gospel passage we just heard, Jesus provoked his listeners with these words, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Strong language, even if the Lord's intent was to invite his listeners to eternal life in God. In the lines that follow immediately, not part of today's passage, we learn about the people's reaction to the Lord's invitation. Quote, "They turned away. Many walked with him no more." Friends, you and I are the church, a local community of disciples gathered in communion with the larger universal church. As such, we, the church, are a sign of Christ's presence in the world, and like the Lord, a servant to all those who live on the margins. But we're also an institution. And as such, we have serious flaws in addition to numerous strengths. When many of his followers turned away and walked with him no more, Jesus asked his disciples if they planned to do the same. Peter's response was telling. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Remain in the church. Don't walk away. The vast majority of our church's members, priests and religious included, serve with distinction, participate with integrity, and distinguish themselves because of their charity. So let's agree to stay. Second, prayer must be at the center of our lives. You and I are constantly in need of guidance and the inspiration and enlightenment that comes from the Spirit of God. Jesus promised that that Spirit would be with us always. So we pray, come, Holy Spirit, asking for the light to know what has to be done and the grace to be able to do it. The passage in today's readings from the book of Proverbs focuses on one of the cardinal gifts of the Spirit, wisdom. We should always feel free to call on the Holy Spirit for wisdom, and prayer is our best means for doing so. Prayer doesn't change God. It changes us. And as we grow older, we often discover that our prayer is a simple being with God, not talking to God or at God. More than anything else, it's an appreciation of the presence of a God who loves us unconditionally. So let's take time to be with God during these difficult days. And finally, we need to rebuild our church, not only through prayer, but through action. As I mentioned a moment ago, there'll be changes in policy and hopefully some house cleaning, but the type of conduct that we've been reading about won't be cured by either of those. We have some other matters we need to address, and at the top of the list is the culture of clericalism that exists in the church. Clericalism is a culture that refuses to entertain constructive criticism and forces an attitude of inappropriate loyalty, one that causes people to turn a blind eye and a deaf ear in the face of behavior that is evil. So how do we address this problem? For one, ensure that authority is held accountable. Every healthy organization has checks and balances, as well as oversight. Next, advocate for the increased involvement of lay men and lay women in the decision-making and authority structures of the church. The role of women in particular needs to be addressed. We can no longer deny ourselves of all that our sisters in faith are able to bring to our church. And also, when asked, you and I need to be willing to be of service ourselves. I realize that the situation we face is complex, and I certainly don't want to oversimplify. But our church has faced challenging and complex situations in the past. A quick study of just the councils held over the past 20 centuries bears witness to that fact. If we love the church, we will find the means to rebuild after a crisis. 2,000 years of hopeful history reminds us that the church has reformed itself many times before. And to all this, let me add a very large dose of humility. We'll need it for the work that lies ahead. We are a sinful people in a human church in a fragile world. Everyone among us is in need of redemption. Each week, we bring our lives to the table of the Lord, along with all our concerns, worries, hopes, and joys. Here at the Eucharist and at the table of the Lord this afternoon, let's pray for our church and for one another. And most of all, we pray that our hearts will be transformed into the image of the one who came and lived among us, bringing the good news of the reign of God.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.